Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm very glad we're together. Awfully nice to be with my peeps today. And I hope you are having a great day. And I hope you are just getting your heart and mind prepared for the Holy Week. And we're in the middle of it now. So as we're approaching Good Friday, we want to think about repentance and confession of our sin. And I'm going to spend the whole hour today talking to Bev Canaris. We're going to talk about that very topic, confession. And it's one of those things that we're going to be talking about the whole hour. So if you want to join in on the discussion, 877-933-2484, you can send a text or you can call us. We'd love for you to be involved in the discussion. And then in the second hour, we've got David Wheaton's going to be with us. And then my friend Steve Russo, who's written a book called Fear No Evil. What a fascinating study he's done. And he works a lot with kids all around the country. And he has seen and heard things that will make the hair on your arm stand up. Evil is certainly getting into the young person's minds more and more, younger and younger. So that's all ahead. We're going to take about a 60-second break and then bring on Bev Canaris. Be back in a minute.
This is Brad Mattis of Life Issues. Easter is the ultimate celebration of life, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, offering eternal life for all who believe in him. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Share the good news of the gospel. Let those you influence know how much you value life, because God does. God gave us his only son that we might live with him forever. A blessed Easter from all of us at Life Issues.
Faith Radio listeners often contact us wanting to hear a specific program or interview again. They sometimes also would like to share that audio with a friend or loved one. This is easy to do. On your mobile device or computer, just visit myfaithradio.com and click on the podcast link. Search for the name of the show that you'd like to hear and start listening. You can also download or share the audio file. Enjoy a podcast today at myfaithradio.com.
I sure hope your Wednesday is going well. I'm glad you're spending part of it with me. If you're just climbing into your car or you're at home getting ready for your next activity or event, I love that you have Faith Radio on, because don't we learn a lot together? Because I learn every day. I come in, I take lots of notes, then I go home and I think to myself, oh, I wish I could read my own handwriting, because I never can. But I know in theory there's good stuff in there. So someday some hieroglyphic expert will be able to tell me exactly what was written in these copious notes I've taken, and today will be no exception. Bev Canaris is a wife and a mother and a grandmother. She was a teaching leader at Bible Study Fellowship for 30 years. Talking about commitment and devotion. So she loves to speak and teach and mentor many. She wants to teach the Bible and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to raise up Christian leaders to serve the church. That's a great, great life mission. And she is the author of Spiritual Mentoring for Women in Life and Leadership. Bev, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to see you.
Yes.
On this gloomy
I know. We're not going to talk about that just because
okay.
It's a little gloomy in the
but
Twin
we're
Cities.
We're Minnesotans. We got to talk
yeah.
about the weather.
There's people in Hartford that are probably, I don't know what kind of weather they're enjoying today, but that all over the upper Midwest, there's probably pockets of nice weather here and there. So if you are one of the lucky few seeing sunshine, live it up, because we are looking at gloom and gray here and rain in the Twin Cities. And but we are here to talk about the washing away of sin. How about that for a segue, Bev?
Just about as smooth as you can get getting into this topic. You
yeah.
know, it's not something that we say, gee, I'm going to read a book about confession, or I'm going to do a Bible study on confession. But it is Holy Week, and I think it's a proper time to do some reflections here. One of the first things I learned, Bill, when I was a new Christian, was the importance of confession of sin. I remember reading this very old book. Some of you in my generation will remember it. Disciplines of the Beautiful Woman by Anne Ortlund. And there's just a little phrase in there that she said that I have lived by and has always been so important to me. Keep your confessions of sin up to date. Keep your confession of sin up to date. It's really been good advice to me all through my now 46 years of belonging to Christ.
So in other words, keep your confession of sin up to date. Be regular in asking the Holy Spirit to bring to mind your sin, your fault, your wrongdoing, and ask for forgiveness and be back in good standing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to kind of keep piling on instead of taking them off at a regular basis like we should. For me, that means daily I always write down something, some confession in my daily journaling, and that just gives me a discipline. I mean, sometimes I have to do it on the spot. I'm not journaling or whatever, but that's the time I allow the Holy Spirit to talk to me about that. There's a lot of different traditions. When people hear confession, they're thinking of a sacrament in a church where it's called holy confession. Maybe they're thinking of, well, just spit it out to someone else, or are we talking about just confessions to God? So there can be various opinions and ideas and way that people think about confession. The actual definition of confession is agreeing with God that you have sinned. And by sin just means missing the mark. You have missed the mark. We are not perfect people. We are not holy as God is. And so we have this issue, this problem of missing the mark, of sinning. There's another word in the Bible for sin as well, and that's called transgressed. And what this really means is willful disobedience to God's commands. And
okay,
then
we got to hit pause there. That's
yes.
A big one. Willful disobedience. In other words, you know what being
the
obedient
right.
would be.
Mm-hmm. You know the right to
and
do.
And you're deciding to go against that. That's got to be the most dangerous kind of sin.
Well, later I'm going to mention that that's one of the things that we may have to ask forgiveness for grace abuse.
Okay.
We abuse His grace knowing, well, I can anticipate the forgiveness down the road.
Because before you come to faith in Christ, you could very likely just be an uninformed, be disobeying because you're not informed. You're ignorant.
Yes, right.
And I don't mean you're stupid. It just means you're not informed.
You don't know. Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the Old Testament, it talks about these sins that you did unaware and that they're
right.
to offer sacrifice for.
Right.
But interestingly enough, there is no sacrifice for willful sin.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We could go into that's a whole show right there.
Okay.
But let's move on. Another word that they use in Scripture for sin is iniquity. And this really means being twisted or corrupted or crooked. And that's exactly what kind of happens to us when we do sin. We're not all we can be, and it starts to twist and corrupt and make our life a little crooked. So that's, I think, a picture of it as well.
All right. I love these words, and I don't think we talk about them enough, so I'm glad we're talking about them today. I like that we talk about sin, and we talk about transgression, we're going to talk about iniquity. These are words pay a lot of attention to.
We do. We
yeah.
do. We need to be educated Christians when we're reading these things. And when you look at the little nuances like this of those different words used for sin in the Bible, it really highlights it and makes it, it gives it deeper meaning and speaks to you and teaches you as well. So I know there's a lot of extremes when we start talking about confession as well. Maybe there's a person out there listening, and I have fallen into this as well, where you're just always confessing. You just constantly don't feel that release of that burden. You feel defeated in your sin, and it's just like, you know, you're chasing your tail. It's confession, 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 no relief, no relief, no relief. So there's that kind of person living defeated and bound. But then there's others that maybe haven't even really given confession much of a thought. It sounds like it's being judgmental on yourself or others, and they can have a very negative outlook on it. So there's kind of the extremes of that. But today, I really thought it'd be interesting if we could answer a few questions. First of all, the basic question is, do forgiven Christians say you're already a Christian, do you still need to confess sin? What does the Bible say about confession? And then how do we practically go about confession?
All right, these are great questions, Bev, and we're going to delve into these. If you want to participate in this discussion, let us know, 877-933-2484. We're going to answer these tough questions. Bev Canaris is in studio. We're talking about confession today, and it's a perfect time to be talking about it as Jesus goes to the cross on Friday to forgive the sin of the world. It's because of our sin that he was nailed to the cross, crucified, and died, and was buried. And it was because of the sin of the world. So we need to confess because we put him there. We'll take a break and be back more with Bev Canaris in just about 90 seconds. We are talking about confession today. It's a great day to be talking about it. Bev Canaris is in the studio. And right before we went to break, we were discussing about what the Bible says. Do forgiven Christians need to confess sin, and how do we practically go about confession? Those are two big questions, Bev, we're going to tackle. Which one should we start with?
Well, we have to start with the gospel, first of all, because some of your listeners may have a question about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what all this Easter really means. We have to start with the basic confession. The first confession we must make is that we are indeed a sinner, not just because we sinned, but because we are a sinner. We belong to this fallen human race. We have to confess that sinful state to God and ask for Christ, who God sent as his one and only Son to die on the cross, to shed his blood where our blood should have been shed for the punishment of those sins. And then we are to ask Christ to be our Savior, to take all that guilt on him. And then he rose again from the dead, and we can now live a new life, just as Christ rose to a new life. So we are made righteous when we make that initial confession. That makes us a position of righteousness. But then we go into a position of sanctification, the practical outworking of our righteousness. And that process can be very frustrating at times. We feel like we take two steps forwards, four backwards, or we just can't quite get over one sin that we're constantly confessing. But this is part of the sanctification process. It does not mean that we do not have a righteous standing with God. He sees us through the blood of Christ. You know, Saturday is Passover. And when in the Old Testament, at Passover, they had the ark, and in the ark was the law of God. And they would pour blood on top of the ark. And so when God would look down, he would see the blood and forgive the broken law underneath of it. And this is what's happening to us when we confess our sin and Christ's blood covers where we have broken the law of God. That becomes our righteous position. So even Passover is a beautiful picture of what happens on Easter. And then once a Christian, we continue then to daily confess our sin, and you may be confessing the same one again and again, but we get up and we never stop the struggle against sin. We never settle into sin. If you are feeling bad about it again and again and again, I think that's kind of a good thing, because that tells us that the Holy Spirit is there convicting us. Help him. Ask the Lord to show you how to have small victories in these things, one step at a time.
All right, Bev, I want to sort through this one a little bit, because I get that we're always going to be forgiven, but the whole idea of repenting is that we are not going to do that same behavior again. So if we get comfortable with confessing an ongoing sin, then are we really dealing with it?
You know, that's something only the person can answer. Okay. And you have to ask that of the Lord. I couldn't judge without knowing the situation. I can only really judge my own heart on that. Mm-hmm. But it is something you want to pay attention to if this is you. And I think every Christian in some area experiences some degree of defeat, repeated defeat. Mm-hmm. And that means what? We're to depend on Christ. We're to go to Him again. We are to ask for forgiveness again. This is why confession is so important. But repentance, and that could be another topic for another day, is also very important. And repentance just means to turn around and go in the other direction. So when we are doing that sin that we constantly repeat, we want to note that, stop, ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord for strength and help, because Scripture tells us that when we are God's child, when we have received Christ, we have power over sin. We don't. He does in our life. Mm-hmm. That's an important fact to remember and pray that. Lord, I know you have power over this sin. I am powerless. You have all power, and you have promised to help in this, in the sanctification process, in this sin. I think of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, some of his final hours on earth. And he said, Peter said to him, "Oh, Lord, if you're going to wash my feet, then wash my whole body." You know, Peter was always both feet in. And Christ said to him, "I only need to wash your feet. You're already clean." In other words, as a Christian, we're clean. We've been bathed. We've had our whole being made righteous through Christ's blood. However, we need that daily foot washing, that cleansing, to keep our life pure and to keep walking with the Lord. Sin shouldn't really be a lifestyle. Sin is something that we can have victory over by the power of God in our life. But again, the message is keeping our confession up to date is going to mean pausing each day and giving the Holy Spirit a chance to reveal specific sins. It's really a very helpful process, and that's the path to freedom from guilt, shame, and continued self-condemnation.
I think of Galatians 2:20, and I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So when you say sin is no longer to be a lifestyle, that lifestyle should be put to death, and it should be, and the power of victory over sin has to come from God, not from our effort.
Absolutely. There should be a changed life happening.
Exactly.
You know, a day at a time. Some people have dramatic changed lives, and others it's this, you know, it's a slower process. And the longer we walk with the Lord, sometimes the more sin He shows us. And we realize, you know, He didn't dump it all on us at once, but we are constantly working. At least I'm speaking from personal experience, constantly working on those sins that are revealed to me. I think it would be helpful at this point maybe just to give some examples of what are kind of some of the things that you would confess.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, so think about the Ten Commandments. You can always open your Bible to that and go through that list and see if any of those. It's hard to get through the list without feeling a twinge that, oh yeah, there it is. Like loving God with your whole heart, making Him first in your life, worshiping Him, being thankful to Him. I have personal issues. Is there sin in your marriage? Are you not loving and respecting each other? Is there harsh, domineering behavior and words in your relationships? Pride and arrogance. That's probably the biggest thing I confess is pride.
Mm-hmm.
I just always feel like it's nipping at my heels, and it's my natural sinful nature response so often to have kind of a bit of a pride rear up in me. So I'm always thinking about that one. What about greed? Where are we being greedy or coveting after worldly things beyond what God would want for us?
Do we ever think we're greedy, or do we ever confess greed?
I hope so.
I would hope so, but I'm not sure if we do. I mean, I don't think I ever walk around going, yeah, I'm feeling pretty greedy.
Have you ever confessed something like, you know, I really feel I have enough of this, and yet I want more? Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do I want more money? Why do I want more time off? Why do I want a nicer car?
Because I'm greedy.
Ah, yes.
You just cornered me. That's not fair.
Yeah. Well, we're all there. And then how about this small issue of honoring our parents and taking care of our family? That's very important.
It can be complicated, can it?
Very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen people honoring their parents beautifully for years, and it's such a beautiful thing, and it really brings honor and glory to God when we do. Then is there any sexual sin? Certainly there's a wide variety of that that people are experiencing and feel trapped and suffer in. Are we abusing His grace? Remember, we talked about that earlier, where we're just counting on being forgiven
right.
later. We're going to push ahead and do it. But that is really grace abuse, and that's a sin that we need to confess. So where have you sinned against another person in some way? Are you helping the poor? Are there sins of omissions in our life? But let me tell you, it takes a great deal of humility to confess sin. Jesus told a story about two men went up to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a hated tax collector. The Jews hated their tax collectors. And the Pharisee prayed, "Oh, Lord, thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here. You know, I do this and I do this." He starts listing all of his works. And then the much hated tax collector stood, didn't even look up. He was just beating on his chest and just saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "You know which one walked away justified? The tax collector."
Mm.
So it takes humility. It takes an honesty of our spirit to see that.
So, yeah, these are a lot of great examples, Bev, of things that we need to be confessing. You know, are we loving God, making Him first, worshiping Him, thanking Him? Are we using harsh words? It could even be with friends, it could be with work colleagues, it could be with your marriage,
children.
Pride and arrogance, that's a big one, because we all mm-hmm. probably are suffering with that as well. And the greed and coveting part, you know, these are great places to say, "I need to confess," and let the Holy Spirit well up in your mind where you are guilty, where you are at fault with these things.
I know a woman once who actually kept in her journal a list of sins, and she would look over them when she was going through confession to see which ones were rearing their head at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting. I don't know if I would write it down in, you know, where other people could see it, but that's one way to do it. Or maybe when you're reading your Bible, something in there, whatever it is that kind of twinges in your heart, you could write that down for the day in your journal. Well, I want to move on to talk about a little bit about what the Bible says about confessions, because we can learn so much from the examples here in the Psalms.
Okay, we do have a hard break here in about a minute, so I certainly want to get to that, but I might want to do it with a fresh start after the break.
Sounds
if
great.
That's all right. And I do want to invite listeners to join in with a question or a comment. This is a really big topic. It's one that we should all be prayerfully meditating on, thinking about. If you have struggles with confession, if you have struggles with arrogance and pride, and you need a little bit of hand-holding through the confession process, please contact us, 877-933-2484. Or you can send a text. You can ask the question anonymously. We will work through it with you. Bev Canaris is in studio. She's my guest. She has been Bible study fellowship teacher for over 30 years. And we have nothing but more time with her for you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in about 90 seconds. We are talking about confession today with Bev Canera. She's in studio. Have you struggled with confession, or maybe you know the power of confession, and that would be something you'd want to share with us? There's nothing more powerful than confession. So 877-933-2484. I'll say that slower. 877-933-2484. All right? Now, Bev, let's talk about some truths from David's got some great examples in the Psalms.
He really does. In fact, there are quite a few Psalms. If they've got a pencil nearby, they might want to write down these Psalms. 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 103, and 143 are all confession Psalms. So if you're struggling in this area, I think it's very helpful to see some how other people did it, especially David here. David's examples are in Psalm 51 and then in Psalm 32. So first, let's look at Psalm 51. This is a result of David. He's confessing here this Bathsheba incident. Maybe I'm soft-pedaling that a little bit. It was adultery. It was murder. But let me just read a few of the highlights from Psalm 51 as we think about this topic of confession. Interesting to me is where he starts. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. I love this. David starts with what he knows to be true about who God is. And that's where we need to start in our confession, in our understanding of confession, of our accepting confession, is understanding that God is what? He's merciful. His love is unfailing. That means unfailing. And he has great compassion. So David here calls upon him. Sometimes we think God is stingy with forgiveness, or, yeah, he's forgiven us, maybe in the legal sense, but he's still mad at me. No, he's not. He's not. He truly forgives, and he has unfailing, merciful love and compassion. An example of this in the Bible is the prodigal son, where the father ran when the son, the disobedient son, the son who squandered all of his inheritance, is a long way off. The father runs to him, and before the young man even confesses, he had already determined in his heart to go back to his father and had confessed his sin to the Lord. But then here he is, the father's coming out to greeting him and embraces him, loves him, celebrates his return. That's a picture of who God is in forgiveness. Then David asks that his transgressions be cleansed. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, verse 2. Verse 3, for I know my transgressions. My sin is always before me. Against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Cleanse me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. So David is looking for cleansing there. You know, so often we feel unclean, we feel guilty, we feel shame, and David is feeling all of that here, and he's asking for the Lord to take away that unclean feeling, that guilty feeling. He also mentions in verse 14 here in Psalm 51 a specific sin. He names it bloodshed. You know, confession is more than just saying, forgive my sins, and then you move on. It's just kind of a routine that you have. I think it's important to name it, to think about it, to ask for forgiveness, to ask for help, to repent from that sin. And then he wants to be made clean, whiter than snow. Isn't that beautiful? I think that is the gospel. People, if you don't know that Christ died for your sins and that you can be white as snow before God, you're bound. You're suffering like David here. He knew his transgressions were there. He knew he had sinned against God, and God will make him whiter than snow. David also goes on in verse 10 here to ask for a clean heart. He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So sin always has consequences, and these were the consequences David was experiencing. He mentions not having the God's spirit within him. He fears that God isn't with him anymore because of his sin. David also asked God to restore the joy in his salvation. These are all side effects and consequences of sin. We can lose intimacy with God. God is still our Savior. We are still in Christ, his child. But we can lose these kinds of relational things, losing our joy, losing our power in prayer. We stop listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. This is what can happen. But David promises at the end here of this psalm, he says, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. So he promises to teach others how to respond in confession and repentance when they have sinned against God. And this is what Psalm 32, our next look at that psalm, what he's really doing. So Psalm 51 comes first, and then we would turn to Psalm 32.
All right. Let's talk about a question that just came in between these two great psalms. That was wonderful on Psalm 51. A listener named Jay said, in regards to confessing sin, I've always been confused by what our part is in our efforts. We shouldn't use our own strength and effort, but we need to put in some effort. What are healthy things we can do besides confession without fixing it out of our own strength?
To avoid the sin, I'm assuming that this is the question. More than just confessing it, I think this is where you mentioned it early on. Repentance comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from confession. Repentance is, again, it's a change of action, a doing a different thing. You know, if you just were very unkind to someone, you know, confess that to God and then confess it to the person that you're sorry. And remember that next time, instead of raising your voice where it's really not warranted, to speak softly. And that's the kind of changes I think you can do. Ask the Lord for a scripture verse. Sometimes we need to have memorized scripture in our mind so that
Yes. We
know, like a gentle answer turns away wrath.
Yes.
There you go. That would fit that example perfectly. So arm yourself with scripture. Certainly that's what Jesus did when he was tempted with a sin, and he armed himself and only spoke back to the enemy, the devil, with scripture. So having those ready scripture verses, we're going to talk about community in the next section here a little bit, how important community is when we're trying to avoid a sin. I think when we keep these sins lockboxed and secretive, they tend to grow in the dark rather than if they're confessed and brought out into the open and you reach out to the community with confession. I think that can help as well.
All right. Should we jump to Psalm 32?
Yeah, let's go into Psalm 32. We're just going to look at the first few verses here as well. David starts with the idea of being blessed. He said, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Truly, there's such joy in that restoration by Christ. This is what we're celebrating this weekend, is this kind of transgressions are covered, whose sins are forgiven, we're blessed. Let's celebrate. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whom there is no deceit. I think that's beautiful. We're blessed when we experience the forgiveness of God to have our sins covered. Our sins not counted against us. All of our sins are on Christ's ledger. Ours said paid. He took all of that debt we had towards God, or the sin you just had this afternoon, that's on his sheet too. And cover it with the blood of Christ and confess it and turn the other way. We have to be honest. He says here that they acknowledged the sin. They didn't try to cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. We have to be honest. To be blessed means we're not trying to deceive God. We're not trying to deceive others. We're not making excuses, some kind of victim mentality. Well, because you did this, I had to do this, so therefore I'm not guilty. You know, all of that. Here David says, when you acknowledge, when you confess, he forgives. But there does have to be that degree of honesty in it as well. The effect of unconfessed sin upon David was groaning in his soul. Listen to this. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. He felt like he had broken bones. You ever had so much inner pain, it's almost as bad as a broken bone? His energy was gone. He felt God's heavy hand upon him. I have certainly felt this as well. I remember sitting in church some years ago, and we were going to have communion, and I just felt a huge burden land on my neck, and I knew I needed to confess it to the Lord. And so as I took the body and the blood, I said, Lord, cover this sin. And, you know, that was such a moment for me, taking that actual body and blood of Christ, as I was with the community of believers, that has helped me receive forgiveness at times. So that's wonderful.
Psalm 32 is powerful when it comes to confession.
Isn't it?
Oh, my.
It's beautiful.
I haven't read that in a little while, so that's really, really amazing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if Good Friday, I shared with you earlier, Bill, that Good Friday is a beautiful day to just sit in silence and think about him, to open to a psalm like this, to just to lay all those sins out and to realize Christ's blood was shed and covered every one of them. And then it goes on in verse 5, which is really the heart of the gospel, when he says, "You forgave the guilt of my sin." That's what we're to be sharing with others. This is one world filled with people who are weighted down and bound with sin. And by sharing the gospel with others, hearing that good news of the forgiveness through Christ, it is so freeing. It is the best news ever. And then they begin that journey of a whole new way of life. Psalm 32 then ends with David remembering that God is going to show him the way to take. He says, "I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my loving eye," after this confession,
that's so powerful.
On you, isn't
yeah.
it? He will give us counsel. God gives us counsel to help us to stay away from sin. We're exhorted, however, in here, I think this is kind of got some, God does have a sense of humor. Verse 9, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." So don't be stubborn. Let God control your life and show you the way to do the right thing and not to have to be pulled back when we're doing the wrong thing severely. I know at one point in my life, I had a lot of unforgiveness, and I found myself in a depression, and it was God saying to me, "Beverly, it's time to deal with this." It was a serious consequence of a sin that I didn't even know was lurking under the surface, but at the right time and in a gentle, loving way, he brought it about so I could have time to confess and to work through that sin. And then it ends with David saying, "Trust in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord." And that's how Psalm 51 ends too. We are to be rejoicing and loving and sharing God's forgiveness with others. So the question we have to ask ourselves today is, will you trust him to forgive you? Or you can choose to carry the guilt as a form of self-punishment. Mm. And we're good at that, aren't we?
Yes.
I don't forgive myself. That really is a very unchristian thing to say, because Christ died for all sin, for that sin you just did again today. He's carried all that punishment. When we do this self-inflicting guilt and punishment on ourselves, it does nothing for our relationship with God. It doesn't glorify him. It doesn't honor our relationships with other people. But it's a very normal but wrong way of responding to our sin.
Bev, I want to say Psalm 32 would be a great chapter to memorize.
I like that.
I like it too.
Yeah.
Let me take a little break. If you have a question or a comment, if you have struggled with confession, or maybe you know the power of it and you want to tell us a story or ask us a question, we'd be very happy to take it. 877-933-2484. Bev Canaris is my guest. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. Bev Canaris is in the studio with me, and we're talking about confession. And we just got through Psalm 32, which is an unbelievably great psalm chapter, worthy of memorization. I think, Bev, we're going to jump over now to James chapter 5.
We are. Another part of this, and Rebecca, thank you for bringing that up. That was very helpful to hear that about what part does the community play in that, your question.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking about the importance of confessing before the Lord. Obviously, that's vital, but what about how other believers are involved, and do we confess to each other?
Well, this is where James 5 comes in. So I'm so thankful you had that question. In chapter 5 of James, it says in verse 16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So there is an element here where we are to confess our sins to one another and to pray for one another. This is one of the means that the Lord offers us to heal that guilt, that feeling of being bound, that heaviness from the Lord upon us. Get it out in the open to others. Again, caution here. It needs to be an appropriate setting with appropriate people who love you and care about you. Maybe a perfect stranger, a counselor would be better. I can't predict exactly where the Lord would have you share that with others. But it needs to be in an environment where your good would be looked after, because we become very vulnerable and we want the feedback from that to be in love. The benefits of sharing and confessing to one another, it really helps assure us of God's forgiveness. You know, if, Bill, I was to pour out my heart to you about something here, you would perhaps have a scripture for me to come to mind. You would offer to pray for me. Just getting it out just disarms a lot of these sins that have us bound into this perpetuating do-over. But getting it out into the open might be just the thing that needs to happen. Also, when you're in a community like that where you are confessing to one another, there's some accountability. I think this is really important. Confessing our sin, maybe this will help break that cycle where you're constantly repeating the same sin. You're going to have some accountability in that particular area. And you need support. You need someone to call and say, look, I'm struggling with this again. I know, it's the same prayer I ask you to pray all the time. But I need your support. And that's what friends, Christian friends, do for each other. And then also, this multiplies the power of God in your life as you connect with the church, the body of Christ. That is a powerful thing, something that, you know, the one gentleman who asked, what else can we do besides just confessing him? This is a very real and an important part of, I think, our process of confession. As
Bev,
well.
Bev, I had a question come in, and we should clear this up because I don't like confusing anybody. But this listener said, you know, without confessing sin, the sin is not forgiven. But he or she said, are you saying without confessing sin, the sin is not forgiven by God, which does not line up with the pure gospel? This is confusing because when you come to faith in Christ and confess your sins are forgiven, and that's all sins. All past sins, all present, all future have been forgiven. I think what he's saying is if there are ones you haven't confessed, do those go unforgiven? And the answer would be no. All sins are forgiven.
All sins are forgiven. Like if you died tonight and you hadn't confessed the sin of yelling at your kids this afternoon,
right,
or swearing, taking God's name in vain,
right,
who knows what
or
it might be.
Swearing at your kids.
That could be, yeah, both, yes. Then that doesn't mean that you're going to be unforgiven. What it means is that you are forgiven as far as your standing before God. You are righteous. You are clean. You've got the clean clothes on you, as Scripture talks about it. Our filthy rags have been laid aside. He sees us through the blood of Christ as clean. Now, as we walk out this righteousness, that's called sanctification. So what we're dealing with here is the confession of sanctification, this confession that we need every day, like the little daily foot washing that Jesus, mm-hmm, was doing for his disciples. So there's our standing, and then there's this process that we're in when we're talking about confession of sin. So the confession really we're talking about today, first there's the confession of receiving Christ. Second, there's the confession of walking with Christ.
Right.
And
good distinction.
That's where we are, yeah, really at today.
So, and I really want to say to this listener that I think you've got it understood that Jesus did pay fully for every sin that you have had in your life. So every
past, current and future.
And future. Every sin has been forgiven. The blood of Christ has washed and cleansed every sin in your life.
I think this might be a great time to go over some verses on forgiveness.
Let's do it.
Just close your eyes, listeners, unless you're driving, and let these kind of wash over you in those areas where you're feeling bound by guilt. Jeremiah 31, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Isaiah 1, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Psalm 103, As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And finally, 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9. If we will claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't those just like a wonderful truths to meditate on, that he truly forgives, he washes? David even asked, wash me. Again, we have that guilt feeling. We need to be clean. We want to be clean before the Lord. He washes us. He forgets our sin. He doesn't remember him anymore. I can't do that. Can you do that when someone has sinned against you? But he does.
Yeah,
he says
right.
He does, and he removes them from us completely. So those are some beautiful promises.
They really are. Mm-hmm. Let's handle this topic. This is a big one, and it's one that many struggle with. And a listener said, how do you forgive yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That I know that's a lot of people get hung up on that one.
The only way to do that is to receive the Lord's forgiveness. And when you say you can't forgive yourself, you're not receiving his forgiveness.
We're not talking down to this person or giving them a sermon. We're saying if you want the joy in your life that comes from forgiveness, you have to be receiving the Lord's forgiveness.
You do. You have. That's what he promises. All that, those words I just spoke.
Right.
That's the truth. Are you receiving the truth? And a lot of times we are not receiving the truth.
But they don't. Maybe they don't know how to do it. They don't know how.
Well, here would be a good point to memorize, right? Maybe memorize a verse of scripture about forgiveness, especially John, 1 John 1:9. It's short. It's easy to remember. I would recommend going there for them. But that's a real thing. Not forgiving yourself, but believe what God has said about it more than what you believe what you think about yourself.
Say that one more time, Bev. That
believe what God has said about his forgiveness of sin and not your own thoughts and feelings. See, those are feelings. We can't live our life on those kind of feelings. We have to base our life on truth. And the truth is God forgives sin and cleanses you and makes you clean.
Mm-hmm. You might be mad about circumstances in your life. You might feel frustrated that there are circumstances that you don't like. And maybe you feel sorry for those, and maybe that's one of the reasons you don't forgive yourself, because you're mad at yourself. God has certainly forgiven you of your sin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, if they're really struggling with that, again, this is where community could help you through those kinds of feelings and to reassure you. And stay in the Word and stay in prayer and talk to the Lord about this. You know, a lot of times something like this that comes to our mind, oh yeah, I can't forgive myself about that. But we've never talked to God about it. We've never looked into Scripture to see what Scripture has to say about it. David, precious David, the apple of God's eye, committed adultery and murdered. We have the Apostle Paul, who was killing and capturing Christians before his conversion. They're God's beloved people. Yes, we can forgive ourselves and move on. Now, Paul still felt bad about it. He felt like he was always the least of the disciples. So, I mean, he struggled as this listener struggling. But you have to believe what God has said, not your feelings.
Yeah, we have to look at our Savior and not look at our circumstances.
Yes, definitely.
I know that's hard to do, but
but that's how we grow. That's how we learn. Mm-hmm. That's how we believe God. And you know what? God is very pleased when we trust him. And that's one of the things both of these psalms say. Do you trust me for that forgiveness? And when you trust God for big things like this, even the little sense, when you trust him that he is going to forgive you, it honors God.
Bev, we just have 30 seconds. Would you pray that some of these listeners could trust him for forgiveness?
I will. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you now, we know that we all have confessions to make before you. Would you help us to keep our confessions up to date? Bring them to mind immediately. May we daily have this cleansing, and may our lives be a model to bring you glory and be a powerful witness to the gospel of God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.
Bev Canaris has been my guest. Bev, thank you so much for coming in and doing always a Rebecca calls it Bev's Bible study. Fantastic. Have a great Easter.
Pleasure.
Blessings to Paul and family, and thank you for being here. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, hour two is just ahead. David Wheaton's going to be with us, and then Steve Russo talking about his book, Fear No Evil. It's going to be an amazing hour. We'll be back. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.